you just wake up?
Yeah, I from a bear fight, talking up late last night.
Yeah, kind of a late night. So, anything new in the works? I know you've been doing like a lot of good things with other artists, Dibs, DJ Vadim, and like Ant even did a track for MERS.
Oh yeah. Right now, me and Ant are making a record. We don't know when we're going to be done with it, so we're tentatively thinking about putting it out either in the winter or around this time next year. We finished one record last summer that I've got done called Seven's Travels, and I'm waiting until summer to release that. And then we're working on another record right now for the follow-up to that.
Tight. Is this sort of in the same form as your previous releases with the Lucy Ford EP? And
I mean, it's the same dude making the beats, and it's the same dickhead rhyming, but overall, it definitely, like, Seven's Travels is, like, different from the other ones we've done. I mean, I don't know, man, like, I can't really tell, because to me, it's all me, but I always have other people go, well, the Lucy record was way different from Overcast, and then the God That's Ugly sounds like a small mix between Overcast and the Lucy record. Seven Tapes sounds like Peter Fonda. So I'm like, well, I can't tell. It all sounds like Ant snares and my whiny ass rhyming on top of all of it. So it's all the same to me, kind of. But I do know this one definitely is going to be considered a little different just because of how we approached a lot of it vocally. I do a lot more kind of risky shit vocally than I am used to doing. Whereas the one I'm working on right now is like Overcast. It's just real straight up and kind of mad at rap. No, not mad at rap, mad at rappers.
Mad at rappers.
Yeah.
Well, you got to be mad at rappers to be an MC, right?
Well, you know, I used to be, and then I quit being mad at rappers because I got bored with rappers, you know, and being mad at them, and decided I was going to get mad at, like, the phone company and shit.
Right.
And then, titties. Yeah, wiggle your boobs. But then suddenly I don't know, now I'm not really mad at rappers, I'm more mad at, like, the rappers I'm friends with. I'm mad at rappers I know on the new record, so.
Really? Well.
Interesting. And I don't mean like I'm making diss tracks or nothing, I just mean like
starting up a feud or something.
There's only, no feud shit, it's more like, everybody's so fucking, dude, everybody thinks their shit's so fucking important. You know what I mean?
It's yeah.
Like, everybody, all these guys, man, we're all making music, and everybody wants to act like they're fucking making the most fucking important shit. This record is what, you're gonna save the fucking world with your fucking record? I'm so fucking frustrated with everybody, you know, just giving themselves way too much credit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, come on, dude, we're all just a bunch of fucking fools that love rap, and that's really all there fucking is to it. You know, it's like, you can't really come out of the box talking about how, like, you fucking are fed up with the industry and fed up with fucking, you are a part of it, but you've only been a part of it for 5 years, or you've only been a part of it for 10 years. I mean, myself.
Yeah. Right, when you haven't even been a part of it, or,
you know, and not only that, or maybe you have, you know, I can only say I've been making music for, like, 20 fucking years now, sure, but, like, at the same time, it's like, you know, does that necessarily mean my shit's important? It's like I'm just another little piece, dude. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, man. A lot of my peers are really, like, they really, and that's good, I guess, that you want to, you know, make important music and make something that's going to make a difference to somebody. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, man, can't we just have some fun? You know, it's like,
well, do you think that maybe your attitude is sort of like, does that have anything to do with your, with the status you've sort of, you got, you know, you're starting to get some status, you know, you're starting to be, you know, get,
I mean,
more,
I
guess, respect.
Maybe I'm starting to become like a little resentful or worried that when you start to achieve some status and everybody starts to look, well, now you got everybody looking, so
mm-hmm.
You better do something really fucking cool since they're looking, you know what I mean? And it's kind of like,
Yeah, I feel that.
I'm kind of like, fuck all that. I'm just going to keep doing what I do. And if they stop looking, they stop looking. If they keep looking, they keep looking. But I don't want to be one of those dudes that, like, when someone goes, so what does this song mean? I got some fucking explanation, you know?
Right.
What the fucking song means? You figure it out and tell me, because I just fucking rap, you know? It's like, I don't know, man.
I hear you.
I don't want to waste your whole fucking session, like, complaining. Quick complaining.
Well, no, man. That's the good shit. I think that's what people want to hear, you know what I mean? Like, all the way from the backpackers, you know, on up, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's about the struggle, so.
Yeah.
So you're in Minneapolis right now?
Yep.
Right on. Are you on tour, or?
No, I live here.
Well, yeah. But,
Oh, no, I'm not on tour right now. I'm actually on break, but I'm still working. I've been recording for the last couple of months. Mostly pre-production stuff. Like, me and Ant don't just run up in the studio with guns. We, like, sit in his basement on a four-track and make skeletons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're doing right now, is just trying to make about 100 skeletons so that we can weed it down to about 30 that actually make sense to invest more thought into, and then take those and then try to come up with 12 good songs.
Very cool. So you're basically playing music. What's the songwriting process kind of like? Is it you listening to loops? And
actually, I have a way of doing it that I don't know how many people do it like me, but I'm this record that I'm working on right now, I'm doing it different. So I'm rendering my old way mood. But what I used to do is I would just write, and I would write to beats like, I mean, realistically, the first Brand Nubian record is the record I usually go to, because they got a good slow beat, and then they got a bunch of good fast ones, and then they got a couple that are, like, kind of jazzy to bring up this type of mood, but then they got a couple that are a little bit more, like moody. I mean, that record to me was, like, probably the perfect record to write to, because I never would write to the beats that I rap to. I don't like to do that, because if I write to a beat and just get a good time for what I'm writing and not worry too much, then what I do is I take what I wrote over to Ant's house, and he starts playing stuff for me that he already has laid onto a four track.
Yeah.
And then I pick one and go, oh, you know what? That beat feels like this song, so let's try it. And then that way we capture, like, the energy that comes the first time you drop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, being with your friends and just, here, I'm going to rip this verse for you.
Right, yeah.
You know? So that way we kind of capture it, because we have a tendency to release some of our four-track stuff. And so that way, even the songs that might not be, like, you know, the greatest song, or maybe it's got some, like, lyrical flaws, or maybe I just didn't think hard enough when I wrote it or whatever, you might still hear the energy in it and be like, whoa, he's ripping it. If I can capture that on the four-track, it's like I can at least take that song and show it to somebody, even if it never makes it to the studio. I can at least take the four-track one and put it out. So we try to keep it like that, but I don't know if that made any sense to you.
No, man, that sounds really cool. Like, trying to capture just the maybe the same energy you'd have in a real, you
like
know,
in a live
cipher
music,
or something.
And it's cool because when I go over there, it's not just me, but like usually there's like a few MCs that work with them, and usually when I go over there, there'll be at least one of the dudes in the corner writing or something.
Huh.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
What do you mean it just stopped? Oh, the battery went dead. Okay, oh, it's not a problem. Just means you have to take this thing. Did you think so? Do you want to watch the homemade porn after this? Figured. damn hippies. Here's what you gotta do. Just find a place for this. Sorry. Just find a place for this to plug into, and then push play. Word. What were we talking about, strippers?
I don't know, man.
Alcohol.
What would you characterize as the typical day in the life? Is it like one of your songs? Is
alcohol
it
and women.
Alcohol and women. is it changing? I mean, like, what's
yeah,
it like? What's it like being slug?
Just in the sense of, like, I don't have to, like, run stupid little lunch money hustles anymore.
Right.
Like, up until last year, I was still, you know, trying to figure out ways to flip $10 to make it 15, you know what I mean? And so it's like between the weed game and the promo CD game,
yeah.
I still used to have to like really struggle to get my fucking bills paid, my rent paid, and like this is the first year that I not like I'm doing good, but like this is the first year that I haven't really like ultra worried about whether or not, you know, they're gonna fucking kick me out of my apartment.
Cut the electricity and all that.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, so I guess things have changed in the sense of I don't have to worry quite as much about that kind of stupid shit, so I'm able to, like, focus more of my worries on things that I actually deserve to be worried about, you know?
That's a good thing. I'd say that money, while, you know, is a bad thing, probably helps with, maintain a certain level of, like, happiness.
I mean, I definitely agree that if that when you get rich, life just gets worse. I think, and when you're really broke, life is bad. I think there's, like, if you can make enough just to cover your cost of living, you know what I mean? And I'm an easy dude. I don't even drive a car. You know, it doesn't really take much. Like, as long as I'm budgeted correctly to make sure that I don't have to think about the phone bill when it comes. When it comes, I can just fucking write a check and send it without worrying about it, you know what I mean?
It's like, yeah, no doubt.
So, like, if I was, like, if I had tons of money and had to play with the government on taxes and, you know, fucking had to make car insurance payments and all that shit, life would probably still be, it would still suck, but being that, you know, I'm a pretty simplified person, like, seriously, $1,000 a month.
You could live on.
Yeah, it's enough for me to live off of, you know what I mean? And so,
yeah.
Since I've achieved that goal, you know what I mean? To where it's like I can actually go day to day without worrying about, you know, having $2 in my pocket and I need a pack of cigarettes type of a thing. Like, then things have gotten better, but my day is pretty much the same, you know? Like, I usually wake up somewhere between 10 and noon. I drink about 2.5 pots of coffee and write for like the first hour and a half, 2 hours of my day, which, by the way, you are seriously in violation of right
now. Hey, Jay Bird set this up, man.
That's okay. It's okay. When Ant gets his hands on you, he's going to whoop your ass.
Oh, shit.
Really, he's the one that gets mad. What you mean you only got 2 songs written? So?
How would you describe your relationship with Ant?
Ant is like
homosexual lover.
Nice. Ant is kind of like my Dr. Dre.
Right.
Like I am the MC Ren.
Mm-hmm.
The Dr. Dre.
Right.
Because it's like, I know how to rap, and I know how to land on time. But my concept of music theory is fucked up. My concept is play the beat and let me fucking rap on top of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Whereas Ant's kind of mentorish in the sense of, and I didn't know this for a long time, because for a long time I was a proud little rapper, and there's no way you could even fucking tell me this, but just as I've gotten older and actually paid attention to how this all unfolds, I realize how much of an influence he has on the directions I go, as far as just, like, it's gotten to the point where now when I'm fucking making songs, it's almost like I'm rapping just to impress him, you know what I mean? Because sometimes he's the only one in the room.
Yeah.
So I'll bust my verse, and if he doesn't laugh at the right lines or something,
mm-hmm.
to me, it's a whack verse. You know what I mean? Or if he doesn't, you know, it's like, it's almost like I'm trying to impress him because it's his first time hearing it when I'm sitting there laying it to his beat. So it's kind of like he's the reason I write now. You know what I mean? It's almost like I'm writing for him to try and get a response out of him or whatever, you know? And so I would definitely say he's responsible for, like, you know, teaching me how to fucking actually feel comfortable with rapping about issues and things that are actually on my mind. Because prior to working with Ant, when it was just me and Spawn and we were making our own beats, like, we were just Tribe Called Quest rap. You know what I mean? We were just fucking, as long as it rhymed, it was a rap. As long as it had punchlines, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It didn't matter. And Ant was the dude that kind of taught me to, like, rap about what's actually on my mind. And that's kind of why I compare it to, like, an MC Ren, Dr. Dre kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, Ren can rap his ass off. Who cares? He can rhyme all fucking day. Wow, all of us can. But I think that, like, out of all the dudes that Ren was, or that Dre was working with, Ren was, like, the one that actually, like, was really bothered by himself. And
yeah.
So I think, like, you know, I'm saying stupid shit because I'm half asleep, so I hope you're getting all this on tape.
No, that makes sense, man.
Yeah, and so he kind of mentored me and taught me how to fucking rap. Not, like, taught me how to rhyme or anything, but just taught me how to actually come true with, like, shit that was bugging me. And sit down and focus on how to take what was bugging me and put it into rhymes, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, man. Prior to Ant, I wasn't telling stories. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't getting into concepts. I had no positivity in my shit. I was just, you know, I was just a fucking rapper. I just wanted to be in Hyrule, you know?
Right, yeah. About issues, you know, like, I don't know if this is a sore subject. I know everybody's got something to say about the war, but have you been, you know, writing about that at all?
I find things when I'm writing, I will even tell myself, whoa, okay, that's definitely influenced by the fact that you were watching the war show on TV today.
Right.
And, like, I don't know. I try not to put too much of that into the music because, like, if and when I'm ready to, like, go there and expose that side of me in the music, I want it to be flawless. I want to make sure that even myself have all my thoughts straight and together, because I don't want to present some information to a bunch of 14-year-olds who might just take that info and breathe by it. Because when I was 14, I breathed by everything Chuck D had to say.
Yeah.
So if Chuck D would have been fucking up and dropping too many flaws, I wouldn't have caught it. I would have just fucking been breathing by it. And so just out of my own fear of accidentally misleading some random 12-year-old, I am going to try to stay away from really getting too deep for as long as I can. I mean, I know it's coming, whereas I'm not going to be able to help it. I'm going to have to say all the shit that's on my head. But just, I want to make sure I got my shit right before I do, because I don't ever want to be in a position to fucking let, you know, to ever mislead somebody.
Or, yeah, oh, you said this, you know, what's up with that?
Yeah, yeah, or let myself down by letting somebody else down in that sense. You know, it's like,
yeah,
like right now I'm fully happy with being an entertainer, but the minute I start to cross that line and go into the side of public speaker,
yeah,
shit like that, I just don't want to accidentally mislead anybody, you know what I mean? And so in order to get to that point, I have to, like, just fully comprehend and grasp everything that I'm dealing with before I really get too heavy at that. I don't
know
if that makes any sense, but
would you consider yourself a conscientious rapper?
Yeah, I do consider myself conscious rap, actually. Like, I feel like I'm definitely an extension of the native tongue and the Public Enemies and the BDPs. It's just, the difference is, like, when I was rapping in the early days, I didn't know this. Like, when I was listening to this conscious stuff, I didn't realize that I was a conscious rapper. I thought I was a funny rapper. I thought I was a fun rapper. I thought I was the missing guy from the Far Side.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And, like, but now that I look at the stuff that I'm actually putting out, like, I consider it conscious rap. It's just kind of, in a weird way, it's almost like a different type of revolution that I'm dealing with. It's kind of like, I guess I'm more self-conscious than I am social conscious. You know, it's like,
well, yeah, I was going to mention, like, maybe a lot of the, like, sort of irresponsible things that you write about sometimes. It sounds like the, you know, the license you have to write that kind of stuff is like, you know, this is my life, and this is where I'm coming from, you know, I wouldn't advise you to do the same thing, but,
right.
You know, I'm steady drinking, I'm, you know.
Yeah, like, I guess I definitely allow myself to climb into my words too much, but at the same time, I mean, it's a good point. I've never wanted to be that guy that was like, yeah, let's get drunk, butt naked, and fuck. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'd rather be that guy that's like, I want to fuck, drink beer, and smoke some shit, and now I'm hungover with VD, you know, see what happens? You know what I mean? It's kind of like, I definitely Ooh. Always want to show the downside of the upside, but
yeah.
I guess, like, I don't know, I guess I would consider myself conscious rap. It's just the consciousness I'm dealing with right now is just an inner revolution, and eventually the social revolution will come out of me, because that's what we all grow to. You know, we can't even help it, but we grow to thinking socially and globally. It's just that before I do that and before I cross that line, I want to make sure that my shit's tight so that, you know, like I say, I don't, you know, you don't want to give kids bad information, because what if they actually believe you and run with it, and then suddenly you're responsible for some 14-year-old getting kicked out of his house because he told his mom she was the devil. You know, it's like, I don't know.
Right. So
my next record is called Brush Your Teeth. Because you can't really go wrong with telling them to brush their teeth. And
you got Q-Bert guest on that.
What's that?
Q-Bert with his... So Rhyme Sears has put on a number of, like, really dope shows over the last several years. What are things like sort of inside the Rhyme Sears camp, you know, as far as artists, you know, like, you guys tight? Like, I know you guys are, seems like you guys are constantly working on something.
Yeah, no, we're very tight as a family, dude. We've been together now for coming up on 10 years, and most of the groups that are involved have been there with us for that full time, and it's been a family of people woodshedding, and a few of us are starting to break out of the shed now. And so you got, you know, me getting out there, and you got Idea climbing the fuck out of there, and Brother Ali will probably be the next one to climb the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
And but there's still a handful of groups that are not so much waiting their turn to climb out, but just woodshedding their shit, making sure that when they do climb out, there's, you know, there's more gems than there is flaws. And so, we're all still really tight, and we all still bust our ass around here, especially to help each other, you know, get this thing straight. Kind of like what I was talking about before, how now this is the first year, you know, not that I'm like balling, I can't really afford to buy lunch today, but I can afford to make sure that my kid eats, and I can afford to make sure that the lights stay on and stuff like that. We have to do that for the whole label, and I don't mean necessarily for each individual person involved, but more so what we need to do now is this label has got to get its money straight so that we can get, you know, so we can distribute these records correctly so that all these artists now have the opportunities that me and Idea had to have our stuff thrown against the wall on a major scale, you know, and without necessarily fucking with major labels, just getting our distribution straight. And that goes two ways. Either we can find a company to distribute the label, or we can, you know, just hustle up the money to do it ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, to hire people to come work for us and to put together teams in other cities and stuff. And that's kind of the shit we're on right now. And that's why, you know, I mean, realistically, I've sold, you know, cumulatively now over 100,000 records. I mean, probably about 150,000 records if you count all three of the records.
Uh-huh.
And that's a lot of money.
Now, how did the Sad Clown Dub, like, CDs fit into that?
Those I only make for, like, touring. Like, the Sad Clown 2, I only made 1,000 of them.
Are those just, is that, like, cigarette and beer money kind of for you? What is, you know?
It's more like gas money.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I make them, and, like, I'm not really big on making a record and then getting a big paycheck. Like, I've reinvested almost everything. Like, right now, the checks come, but I take enough to live off of, and then the rest of it gets reinvested back into the company.
How did Rhyme Sears begin? I mean,
we began like that. Like, it began with five of us, essentially, and we would dub our little tapes at home and then go and fucking go to the hip-hop show with a fucking shoulder bag full of fucking tapes or CDs and we'd fucking run around and try and sling them. And then at the end of the night, we'd all come together with the money that we gathered. We'd put the money together and go, okay, see this money? If we do this again, we got enough to go and buy a fucking reel-to-reel. Or you see this money, if we do this again, guys. Idea is one of those guys. Sadiq is one of those guys. We've been able to, and we've been able to stop having to work our jobs, but we don't live lavish. You know what I mean? It's kind of like if I want beer money, I still have to like go out and hustle a little. You know, because we take the brew money that we make and reinvest it back into the co-op, so that it's kind of like, I mean, situations like this. For 10 years, I've been working with guys that have had my back. Now I'm starting to pop, but those guys aren't yet. So being that they've had my back this long, it's like the money I'm making right now is what's going to get invested into their album.
Yeah.
And their album gets to where my album is, and so on and so forth, you know. And then that way it's just, I mean, the community of it is much better, the familyness, because as opposed to having a family where everybody's going for self, you
right.
know, it's like I'm setting myself up long term so that even when I suck or even when people don't want to hear me rap no more, I still have a position, because everybody is like, well, this is the guy that fucking put all his money into our shit, da 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 da, and so on and so forth. So then I get to be a tour manager, or then I get to be on the phone trying to talk a store into buying your record or whatever, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, I mean, it still works on a real basic idea, and that idea is just common sense, what makes the most sense to do.
So would you say, I mean, what do you have any comments on, like, the indie rap game versus sort of mainstream hip-hop?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the indie rap game is where most of my frustrations lie, because it's what I know about. And, like, it's funny because, you know, the idea of do-it-yourself hip-hop should feel a lot more communal, but what I've learned is that these indie rap groups and labels are no better than the majors. They're on the same shit the majors are. The only
right.
difference is the majors wouldn't fuck with them at first, so they were like, well, fuck the majors, we're going to do this ourselves. And as they get going, they turn out to be just like the majors. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not about what you're giving the kids. It's about how many fucking records you can move.
What you're getting for self.
What you're getting for self, or what kind of respect you're getting for making such and such an album or something. And that's where my frustration is with everybody thinking that shit's so important. Like, I love the fucking legends, dude. Like, all of them, because the motherfucking dudes don't look at this like they're fucking feeding the kids their seeds, you know? We're not fucking gemming these kids. We're fucking making shit for these kids to listen to when they're fucking mad at their parents, you know? It's like we're making music that's fun. You have fun. You play it. You bump. No, it might not have the greatest beat. No, it's not going to get played on the radio or in the club, but that fucking kid fucking puts it in when he gets off work and he's trying to fucking relax and not think about his fucking cashier job anymore. You know what I mean? And it's like, to me, that's what the fuck it should be like, you know? It's, I don't give a fuck if some critic calls my record this or that. He can shit on it. He can say it's good. It doesn't really matter, because at the end of the day, he's 35 fucking years old and he's going home and listening to Radiohead when he gets off of work. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
It's these 15-year-olds, you know? Dude, when I was a kid, man, the shit, you know, and I don't mean to get all, like, fucking melodramatic, but, like, this shit kept me out of gangs. This shit kept me out of the coke game. This shit, I mean, realistically, I could probably trace hip-hop and say it kept me alive in some way or another. It kept me out of situations that got me in trouble. You know, I'd get in trouble for writing on shit, but I never got in trouble for carrying a gun. And it's not like the shit wasn't around. It's like, my focus was, I want to be this fucking graffiti writer. I don't want to fucking be a thug. You know what I mean?
It's, yeah. Like, you want to be Duke from Wild Style, like.
Yeah, I want to be Lee, man.
Yeah.
Get me, I'm climbing through my bedroom window.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's that. And to me, that's the real shit. I got to remember that. I got to think about, like, what the fuck was going through such and such's head when he was making that record that affected me when I was 15. And it didn't affect me by making me smarter. It didn't affect me by making me stronger or harder. It didn't change the world. The world's still fucked up. But what it did was, it reminded me that I felt like part of a community that could smile and just bump some fucking beats. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Just fucking play my shit and roll around by myself if I have to. You know, like.
Yeah. I heard last night some of my boys came through, and one of these guys was telling me, you know, the reason critics are doing what they do is because they can't do the same thing.
Oh,
you
know, yeah, yeah, yeah.
This
man.
Is this, the, you
most
know, 35.
Rock critics and rap critics are motherfuckers yeah. that never got their band going.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's so, they're in college and they're trying to play the bass guitar And they're going for journalism because they don't know what else to do, because they write songs and they feel like a good writer, so they're taking some type of writing major. And what do you know, man? They end up writing for your city's fucking weekly or something like that.
Yeah.
And now they're putting in, you know, say 12 hours a week on their fucking article that comes out every Wednesday, which that 12 hours takes away from the practice they used to put in with their band. And before you know it, they're not even in the band anymore because the band fucking sucked and they never fucking learned how to copy sleep. You know, it's like, yeah, dude.
Were you ever in a band, like in high school?
No, man, I can't play a single instrument. I can play television theme songs on the piano. Like, I've taught myself probably about 150, you know, I can play Gilligan's Island, I can play I Dream a Genie, I can play all the fucking little theme songs on the piano. Just
that's tight, dude.
But I've never fucking, yeah, I can't play any instruments, man. In high school, I was rapping. I was in the talent shows trying to be a rapper. Everybody's looking at me like a little fucking white kid up there rapping.
Right. On a similar subject, like, I think it was Spin magazine, made the comparison to Eminem, between you and Eminem, and I'm not sure if it was Spin, I don't want to get this wrong or anything, but what's your take on that dude? Like, I mean
two things. First thing, the comparison thing, like, I don't mind it. At first, like, a couple years ago, the very first time I saw an article compare me to him was before he was really large. It was like when he had first come out with his first record,
right?
And I had just come out with the 7th tape, and a local paper here in Minneapolis, one of the newspapers, was writing a piece about my 7th tape, and then they compared it to the Slim Shady LP. And at first I was like, that's fucked up, because I know Eminem's history. I've known of Eminem like way before he ever popped off. He's from fucking Detroit. And
back in the original Scribble Jam days.
Yeah. And, you know, and so it's like, he's not that far. And I hear about the things that happen in his city. And in my head, it was just kind of like, ah, that's fucked up. Because, like, you know, and granted, this was me being a dickhead. But I'm sitting there going, oh, man. I've been doing this longer than that fucker. I've put out more records than that fucker. I've been hustling. Why do I gotta get compared to him? And I thought it was unfair. But then I thought about it. I'm like, well, we're both Midwestern. We both rap about shit that, you know, shit that you don't necessarily hear from, well, you hear it from everybody nowadays. But at the time, you know, dealing with fucking head trips and issues was not really the coolest fucking thing to do in hip hop, because you didn't want anybody to see your weaknesses.
Right.
Whereas nowadays, it's like, it's almost like there's going to be one token weakness song on everybody's fucking record. But
right.
At the time, I don't know, at the time it kind of just bugged me. But now, I completely understand it, man. It's like, well, yeah, we're both Midwestern. Both fucking, you know, grew up as fucking white kids that thought we were black. You know, it's like, I can't really shit on the comparison. The only difference is that motherfucker is an icon now. He's fucking huge and he's rich and I'm living off of a G a month, you know?
Like, right.
But at the same time, I ain't mad at him at all. Like, I'm like, go cut creator, go, man. That shit, you know, do your fucking thing, son. Yo, Dunny, handle that, man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I'm not mad at comparisons. I think it's funny because, like, from the beginning, like, as a kid in high school and, like, right out of high school, it wasn't that big of a deal because the community here was small and tight-knit and everybody already knew who the fuck I was in Minneapolis as far as the rap kids who cared about local rap, they knew who the fuck I was, and I never really had to deal with the white boy thing, because most of these people kind of came up out of the same neighborhood as me, so they knew who I was, and they knew the history of me and both of my brothers, and they knew my family, and so I never really got white boy too much, because everybody around here knew that my dad wasn't white. But then after the Eminem thing, and then after I started getting out of town more often, I started getting white boy a lot from, like, interviews and just people stepping to me and the Eminem comparisons. So it kind of, in a weird way, made me actually deal with my racial issues with hip-hop, which I'd never had to deal with prior to that, because prior to that, everybody kind of just accepted me and never asked.
Right.
Then I started getting asked, well, what are you anyway? Are you white? Are you this? Are you that? And so that's when I started going through my whole Eminem resentment thing, because I'm like, this dude's blowing up. So now people are looking at me like, oh, you're a white rapper too, dude. Let's see what you got going on.
Right.
You know? And I'm like sitting here kind of going, don't call me white, dude. I'll punch you.
Yeah.
And
what are you anyway?
I mean, my dad is black and Native American, and my mother is Irish, Scandinavian, and other, you know, white things.
Right.
So, like, it made me actually, I mean, I'm glad it happened, because prior to that, I never had to deal with that. And I think looking yourself in the face and dealing with your own issues are good for you. And once I got through that, now it's kind of like, now I'm to like whatever, if some girl in an interview says, so I was talking to the white rapper Slug, it doesn't even bother me. Like, I don't give a fuck, you know? And the other thing, and the part two to that question is, it brings you back to the journalists, okay? It's their job. I won't even say it's their job. This is how they get laid, okay? Like, rapping can get me laid. I have a talent that I can do that can get me laid. Some people know how to fix cars, and that's their talent, and it can get them laid. Journalists write, and if you write well, and if you write about cool stuff every Wednesday in your local zine, well, when you go to the show, people are going to start going, oh, yeah, that's what's-his-face. He's the guy that writes for da-da-da. Mm. Eventually, you're known as that guy that writes those articles, and now you're part of a scene. People know who you are. You got a little bit of a, like a pseudo-celebrity thing going on because you write about stuff. That's what gets you laid. And so you're going to want to, you know, it's funny. I read these things, and half the time I go, man, that writer didn't really say shit about the record. He was just flexing his fucking writing skills.
Right, he's just trying to get laid.
He's just trying to get laid, which I relate to. I'm not mad at him. Mm-hmm. I'm like, do your thing, dog. Get your pussy, homie. You know, like...
Right on.
I'm fine. But, and so, they have a weird task, man. They gotta, like, basically, you know, in 100 words or so, explain something to a bunch of people that don't know. And explain it to them in the sense that these are gonna make them go, nah, I don't want to see that. Or... I'm interested. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, this sounds like some cool shit.
And so when I get compared to this or that, okay, well, maybe he's trying to tell people, hey, if you like Eminem, you might like this guy. Not because he's like Eminem, but because, I mean, the same reasons that you like Eminem, you might like this guy for, or you might like this guy over here. And so it's kind of like,
right.
Yeah, I'm not mad at him. Like, I used to take all that shit so personal until I realized, you know what, dude, that writer don't care. He wrote about me, and the minute he turned it in, he went and started writing about P.J. Harvey. He's thinking about something completely different now. It's not like he had this vendetta against me, and he said some shit that bothered me, you know? So why should I take it personal, you know?
Yeah. So what kind of advice do you have for like, aspiring young MCs?
I mean, I guess the same shit that I was told, man. Don't ever stop, you know? It's like, even if... You never know when somebody suddenly, all of a sudden, is going to be like, dude, you're the shit. Like, I had no idea, dude. I was so frustrated. Like, right after I put out the Lucy Ford record, I was just like, fuck, nobody likes my shit. You know, I fucking, fucking shit. People, they're spitting on me. You know, like, what am I going to do, you know? But at the same time, I couldn't stop. I just had to keep making more songs and more songs. And so it's like, there is no possible way to, like, there's no science behind how to become liked. You know what I mean? It's like, if it hits and clicks, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Just either way, if you love what you're doing,
yeah,
just keep doing it, you know, and never stop doing it. And I can't help it, man. Like, at shows, kids come up to me, and they want to spit in my face and rap for me and shit. And it's like, as crazy as that is, you know, I've never done that. When rappers came to my city, I never was like, yo, Chris, come here, dude. Bust the rhyme. You know, it's like, I never was that guy, but when kids do that, it's like, I let them bust their little nut, get it out, you know, but then I always want to make sure I tell them, hey, don't stop doing what you're doing, because that's what cats would tell me, man. When I would meet people that I respected, and they'd be like, oh, you rap? Yeah, I rap. I wouldn't even have to rap for them. They would just be like, well, just don't stop, man. Do what you're doing. Don't ever stop. And so that, I just have to turn around and do that, you know? It's like, that's all I can really say to a cat.
Right on. Right on.
If you quit, you're a fucking herb. We're all going to make fun of you.
They're all going to laugh at you. On Lucy Ford, and I don't know, you know, what this question, you know, how this question is going to appeal to you, but, you know, who is Lucy? You know, like, what's the concept behind that? I mean, is it just what the song says, that's what it is, and that's all you want to say about it?
It's my cat. Hold on, I'll answer that question when this girl leaves the room. Fuck you, dude. Yeah, it's her. I still live with her. She knows it. She's so sick of me busting her out on it. She's making a record right now. She's getting even. It's not a rap record, but I went to see her show play last night, her band, and I'm like going, fuck you, that song's about me. Fuck you, that song's about me. And I'm sure that's how she you know, and that's the side that brings the most issues. And it's funny because it's not. It's the angel side that brings up the issues. It's the conflict between the two. It's the fact that I can look at you 1 minute and you're just this complete, clean, little, immaculate angel. And then if I turn my head and look back, suddenly you're this shitty little slutty devil. And it's like, whoa. And so the difference between the two and trying to consume both of them at the same time and trying to relate to both of them at the same time is what, you know, is where most relationship issues stem from. And so Lucifer, Lucy Ford.
Uh-huh. Right on. Another issue that seems to, like, be involved a lot in the Lucy Ford EP is, you know, like, living out the car, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the car.
I mean, I did a lot of traveling that year, you know, and a lot of touring, and that was my sleep on your couch in your basement touring, you know, and so I met a lot of people and saw a lot of crazy shit, you know, played a role in a lot of crazy shit, and I'm sure it just, like, had its effects on me as far as developing me into the person that I am.
Right on. Do you have any, like, crazy stories about, you know, about your life, like, or something meaningful?
Oh, shit, man. How much time you got? Like, I'll tell you this, man. I never, never left my state once until I started touring as a rapper. I've never even been to Wisconsin, right? And then suddenly, you know, about 4 years ago, I'm like, dude, we got to go on the road. So we do. And I've been an open, bugged-out-eyed child ever since, just because this is the vehicle that took me around the world. Whereas up until, you know, I mean, imagine, you know, 24 years old, and I'd never left my state. You know what I mean?
It's like, yeah. Then all of a sudden, boom.
Then all of a sudden, boom, and now I'm in Missoula, Montana. What the fuck am I doing here? You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Sorry about that. Right on.
I'm sure, like right now, it's nothing, but I'm sure in, like, about 30 years, I'm going to be one of those old guys that just has got way too much to say about everything, just because of the way that I have actually been able to consume all of this.
Like, that's some scary shit, too.
I did all this on a freak accident. You know what I mean? It's like all of my life lessons and learnings after the age of 24 has been, like, this freakish thing that wasn't really supposed to happen.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm blessed with regular bowel movements.
At this point, anyway. But, on a last note, do you have any special words for Christina Ricci?
Oh, my goodness. Get off the Atkins diet, girl. Get your weight back, girl. You was better, thicker.
Right on.
If you could tell her that for me, I'd appreciate that.
I'll see what I can do.
Oh, and dump that boyfriend.
Well, is it possible then? I mean, that concludes the interview.
Cool.
It was really,
cool. Yeah,
really good talking.
Thanks for taking the time to do it, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Can you, is it possible to get a shout maybe for Tone Deaf Systems just to promote
it? Yeah. Just Tone Deaf Systems like that?
Yeah.
You want, like, just a drop for it?
Yeah, so, you know, something I could put, you know, audio-wise, like, you know.
Can it have cursing?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yo, what's going on? This is Slug from Atmosphere. You're checking out Tone Deaf Systems all up in your engine, fucking with your pistons.
Right on.
Cool. All right.
All right, Slug.
All right.
Very nice talking to you.
Have a good day, Noah.
All right, you too.
Sick.
Peace.
Later.